Welcome to the CB Wallet Podcast. I'm Phil Lucas.
I'm Phil Gerrard. Why are we here, Phil?
Well, we're going to talk about the world's greatest disasters. What went wrong, how it went wrong, and whether it was our fault or God's fault.
And remember, Philip Lucas, right? Oh, I might have to keep telling you this. Mm. It's not our intention to make light of the sometimes quite substantial mortality rates of some of these disasters.
No.
We're just interested in finding out what went wrong. And be honest with yourself, Phil, for once in your measly life. If it came on the news, I reckon you'd be interested.
Yeah, something new. Get your teeth into.
Yeah, exactly. What are we talking about this week?
Noel Edmonds' foray into the theme parks with his crinkly bottom Somerset extravaganza.
Come and see us at Crinkly Bottom at Cricket St Thomas near Chard in Somerset. It's Britain's first TV theme park. Visit Mr Blobby's house. See the wonderful wildlife parkland. Enjoy family fun in Blobbyland. Crinkly Bottom is 20 minutes from Junction 25 on the M5 and 10 minutes from the A303.
Okay, Crinkly Bottom. Crinkly Bottom. Nice to do a slightly less horrific one after last podcast.
Yes, will be a bit easier.
Although, people swimming in effluent is not entirely divorced from Noel Edmonds' output over the last... over the last so many years.
Come on, you love Telly Addicts, you love Multicoloured Swap Shop, and everybody loved Noel's House Party, even though we slag it off now.
I did love Noel's House Party. I was a big fan of Noel's House Party. I was a big fan of Telly Addicts, actually. No, I think it's his newer output, which I'm not a big fan of. I don't like Deal or No Deal.
I know somebody who went on Deal or No Deal.
Really?
Yeah, he won a lot of money and slept with a producer.
Wow.
So he did all right out of it.
That's over and above, though, isn't it? You know what I mean? If you go on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and you get to suck off Chris Tarrant, then you really have won Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
I don't know if it was the producer. It was somebody who worked on the show. I don't want to libel someone.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
I don't know, yeah. But I know it was someone. It wasn't Edmonds.
So, Crinkly Bottom. What was it?
A theme park that Noel Edmonds opened based on characters and elements from his popular TV show, Noel's House Party.
When did it happen?
Between the 2nd of July 1994 and sometime in 1999 when it closed.
Why sometime? Did it just sort of fizzle out?
Murky fizzling out, yeah.
just when the last person left. The last person who left Crinkly Bottom turned out the lights. How many people died?
Hard to tell. Probably nobody, but with Edmonds, you never know.
He's got form, hasn't he, Edmonds? For some reason, we've been podcasting now for... I was thinking about this today when I picked you up because you got a flat tyre. How long have we been doing a podcast together now?
Too long.
It's a long time now, isn't it? We've been doing it. And there's been certain themes that have emerged throughout all the podcasts. And one of them is... The fact that Noel Edmonds once killed a man.
It's because you're obsessed with it.
Why am I obsessed with it?
Because you're always talking about it.
I think for once and for all, we should talk about how Noel Edmonds once killed a man.
Okay. Noel Edmonds did not kill a man.
No. But what happened?
What it was, wasn't it? What was it called? It wasn't Saturday Night Takeaway. It was Noel's Saturday Night Big Night In or whatever it was. Late Late Breakfast Show.
Oh, right, okay.
That was it. Noel Edmonds' Late Late Breakfast Show. And it was a stunt, wasn't it? Where a member of the public was kind of in a... in like a box hanging from a crane, wasn't
right,
it?
Right, okay.
And I don't quite know what the stunt was.
Was he going to jump out of the box or something like that?
I don't know. You might know more about it than
me. No, I don't know anything about it.
But that's all you talk about.
I think I just like the phrase that Noel Edmonds once killed a man. So, Crinkly Bottom, I would have been prime age to go to Crinkly Bottom, I suppose, if it was in 1940. But I did used to really like Noel's House Party. I thought it was great.
That's the thing. I think it gets a lot of slagging off.
Yeah.
But we all watched it.
Yeah.
And it was quite groundbreaking. It did things that had not been done on TV before.
Yeah. What was the one where they went live to people
was
watching
it NTV?
NTV?
You're watching TV and suddenly Edmund starts talking to you. I mean, there's quite
lots of shit like that.
Things.
Did that ever, do you ever used to tense up when I would watch? Because you'd watch with your family, like in the days when you always sit around and watch television together. And I would tense up going, oh, is it going to be us? Whereas now you go, well, it isn't going to be us because I haven't been in contact with Noel Edmonds outside, which I assume they must have been. You can't just put a camera in.
No, you've got to have one member of the family who's involved.
At least one of them's got to be in on it. I can imagine them going, hello, Mum's put a nice jumper on. Why is Dad wearing pants, Mum? Saturday night, Dad never wears pants. And yet for some reason tonight's wearing pants.
He's not eating beans off a tray.
Yeah, exactly. He's not being racist. Why is Dad not being racist? He's usually very racist about this sort of time, and he's been not racist. We must be on MTV. So you've done all of this research on Crinkly Bottom all on your own without any help whatsoever.
Well, no, I've compiled it, but yeah. I should say that in this instance, I gleaned a lot of very helpful information for this podcast from a fantastic website called Dunblobbin.
A specific Crinkly Bottom website.
A Crinkly Bottom website, which talks all about what it was about, memories. There's loads of photos of it. You can find it online. It's dunblobbin.com. The blobbin is without a G. So it's dunblobbin.com. They're also on Twitter, at dunblobbin. Well worth checking out if you really want much more in-depth Crinkly Bottom theme park information than we're giving.
I imagine there isn't a great deal out there.
There's not much,
honest,
actually.
Information on
Thank God for Dunblobbin, I say. Yeah.
Because I don't think we would have done this otherwise. No. I mean, it's only really a footnote in my memory that this even existed, the Crinkly Bottom
I remember
theme
the theme park. I remember the Daily Mail running a story with photos of it derelict.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah, it's like it's a tiny little story, isn't it? Do you know that not all of them's been at a theme park? Really? And then when you look into it, you go, actually, there's not much more to say than that. But because of this website, we found loads to say about the demise of Crinkly Bottom. So, what the hell was the Crinkly Bottom theme park?
Okay, well, to understand that, you have to know the background about how it came about.
Absolutely, background
it
me.
Came about because of a TV show called Noel's House Party.
Yeah. Do you remember the theme tune?
No.
I don't either. I wish I knew. Remember the theme tune.
Find it and then play it here. It was a primetime Saturday BBC One show that aired between 1991 and 1999. It was set in a large house, manor house, in the fictional village of Crinkly Bottom. That's a double entendre.
I guess it is an innuendo, yes. Yeah. It's not very... I mean, it's more of an endo, isn't it? Because it's not... I mean, the word bottom is in it.
Yeah, that's right. True. That's true. Hugely popular show, though. 15 million viewers it was getting at its peak.
91 to 99, a whole decade that was big on television.
Yeah,
the whole
massive.
Decade.
And everyone slags it off now, but everyone loved it.
And it's better. I mean, it was better than frickin' X Factor. Do you know what I mean?
Like, that wasn't even on, was it? Oh, I see. You're not comparing them at
I'm just comparing the other long-running TV shows, Saturday night TV shows.
No, Noel's House Party was quite unique. You had the gotcha thing, you know, where they used to set up celebs.
Which Ant and Dec still do.
But to be fair to Ant and Dec, I think they say...
Oh, do they? They
yeah. Not this. So much Ant now. He's off the scene.
Yeah,
but they sort of say that they owe a great deal of...
I think. Well, Saturday Night TV, I'm not 100% on this because I can't remember things that happened before it, but Saturday Night TV... The structure of a Saturday night TV show seems to have been invented by Noel Edmonds.
Yeah.
You have an overarching idea of the thing, and it's like a magazine show. You have different audience participation games and outside broadcasts within that sort of TV show format, right?
Yeah.
And so really, all of the horrific television that's come after is a result of Noel Edmonds. Yeah. Original idea, you know.
But one of the few programmes that you could watch as a family.
Yep.
It appealed to everyone. You could watch on your own, in your pants.
You could.
And people...
genuinely liked it.
Yeah. And people talked about it.
I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it as well.
So, yeah, what were the gotchas?
Well, actually, the gotchas were originally called the Gotcha Oscars.
Oh.
Until there was a threat of legal action from the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Scientists.
People might get those confused, you know what I mean? Yeah. Well, in the late 90s, I got myself a Gotcha Oscar for the film Schindler's List.
Hidden camera practical jokes that were played on celebrities, in short. Bearing in mind, didn't have a great deal of CCTV in those days, and you didn't have cameras on your phones. Quite a big thing.
I mean, in those days, cameras would have been the size of what, a breeze block.
Yeah,
they're big. Mm. So if you were going to do a gotcha, a two-way mirror has got to be involved somewhere.
Yeah.
Wait till I get you home. What was that?
Yeah. Do you remember? I vaguely remember this. It was like parents would watch pre-recorded footage of their kids being interviewed by Edmonds, and he would try and ask questions about, does your your mum cook things badly? And the little kid goes, yes. And it's like, whoa, wait till I get you home.
Oh,
and the
I
parents would
that.
Watch their kids giving the answers.
I do remember yeah. that very, very vaguely. Yeah. Mm. Grab a grand, I remember.
Yes, grab a grand. That was a phoning competition.
In a phone box filled with money.
They would have like three or four different currencies and they had to try and select one that was closest
that's
to £1,000.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And the celebrity yeah. was usually someone like Graham Gooch. And they would climb into a Perspex box. That's it. Yeah. And there was a fan in that box. Yeah. And the banknotes would fly around because of the fan. They had to grab as much as possible. Now that
great.
Is good TV.
That's great. Absolutely great. There was a lot of this going on in the 90s, wasn't it? Standing in somewhere with a big fan trying to... It's very end of the Crystal Maze and all that sort
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, fan and gunge.
Gunge, lots of gunge.
They had a gunge tank in Noel's house party, actually.
They did?
Yeah.
Gunge was a big part of it, I think.
Oh, because it was funny in those days yeah. to gunge a celebrity.
Yeah.
Now you'd just be like, oh, yeah. piss off. Yeah. Local radio gunges people now.
Yeah,
but
exactly. Oh, and I suppose it all became children's TV, didn't it, Gunge? There was
yeah.
a big old Gunge children's TV thing with, what's that? What's the name of the guy who did the Gunge tank?
Wasn't Dave Benson Phillips?
Dave Benson
he used to
Phillips,
gunge people.
One.
I think he still does.
Yeah.
I think he's got a gunge van
yeah,
and he goes around and you can hire him for parties and stuff. Because Dave Benson Phillips is local, so I see.
Einsatzgruppenführer Dave Benson Phillips has got his own van. Okay, brilliant. And the one that we talked about, NTV, which I think was the real groundbreaking one, right?
Yes, a sort of hidden camera sort of in the back of Family's television, and then suddenly he would come through and talk to them on TV.
I wonder how they really did that, because they did look like they didn't know, which means that some of them must have not known. So I wonder where they secreted the camera, because they couldn't have put it in the telly.
Maybe it was hidden in an ornament or something.
Yeah, maybe.
God knows.
Do you ever know anybody who was on NTV?
No, did you?
No.
God, I remember
no.
a couple of celebrity victims. They occasionally did celebrity ones. I remember Gary Bushell.
Really?
And Dale Winton.
Gary Bushell. God almighty.
Both dead now. Only one metaphorically.
Oh, yeah. So, before we get on to it, the biggest part. And now, it seems slightly mad.
Mm.
But the biggest part was Mr. Blobby.
Yeah.
Right? Now, looking at Mr. Blobby and what Mr. Blobby is, a man in a big pink suit.
Mm. And badly done. Cheap pink suit.
Cheap pink suit, who literally only said the word Blobby, was so successful, well-loved.
Absolutely massive. It was only introduced in Series 2, and the only reason it was introduced was as a way for Noel Edmonds to play practical jokes on celebrities.
Because he was in the suit, wasn't he? He used to do that thing where he'd knock the head back.
Yeah.
No, her head came back on a hinge, didn't it? And he
yeah.
was like, it's Noel Edmonds. And people were more horrified. Mm.
Yeah. But people
loved it.
Absolutely yeah. loved Mr. And I have to say, at the time, when it came out, there was something quite funny about this reckless thing. Because it would just steam into anything, wouldn't it?
A fall over, it would just, smash things.
Yeah, and there was something, because now that's really annoying. But it was quite funny to just watch. Because you didn't really sort of have celebrities being taken the mick out of.
No, that's true.
So this kind of great big pink thing just smashing into Dale Winton and knocking him flying or
so
whatever.
I suppose, so I'm trying to remember. I suppose the conceit was that there was they get a celebrity in to do a shoot or like an advert or something. And then Mr. Blobby would be part of that advert.
Mm.
And Mr. Blobby would mess things up.
Yeah.
And so the idea, I suppose, wasn't that Mr. Blobby was a... It wasn't that Mr. Blobby was an entity. It was that it was an actor who was bad at his job in a big suit, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was like, so they would be getting angry with this out of work
actor. That's
how
it kind of started, yeah.
And then the out of work actor turns out to be Noel Edmonds and, you know, oh, it's like a funny thing.
Yeah.
But then over time, Mr. Blobby became an actual character with a wife.
There was a wife, yeah. Yeah. But there was something quite funny about him just crashing into things and sending everything flying. But anyway... like you say, you look back now and you think, how's that funny? And everyone goes, oh, yeah, Mr. Blobby.
Yeah.
But he was huge. Christmas number one, or certainly had a number one.
Do you remember the song? Do you remember the Christmas number one?
Yeah.
I reckon we could probably play that a bit of that in right now.
Blobby, blobby, blobby.
It's got no long-term charm, has it? I mean, that's the thing with Mr. Blobby.
It's certainly...
Like the Crazy Frog had no long-term charm.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly wouldn't look at Mr. Blobby and go, this is going to last forever. Let's turn it into a theme park.
This is for the eons, isn't it? Well, there's Dickens, Shakespeare. And that's the thing, isn't it? Disney.
Mm.
I mean, I know it was a... I know that Disneyland, actually, it was a gamble at the time.
Mm.
But you would have been relatively confident that the Disney films were already like internationally famous and that it was a big studio and it was... But it takes a special type of hubris to think that you're... Your single character from your Saturday Night TV show. I assume this will last forever.
Well, if you're talking hubris, we are talking Edmonds.
He's famous for this, right?
Yes.
He is famous for a bit of hubris, Edmonds. Mm. So, Phil, basically, the nub and crux of the whole kit and caboogle, in a nutshell, we've got a massively successful show with a massively successful character.
Blobby.
And if you've got those two nuggets, what do?
Open a crinkly bottom themed park.
Obviously. Mm. It's the next obvious step for everybody who has a successful television show. I mean, if I had a penny for every time Ant and Dec have tried to open a theme park, no one opens a theme park.
I think, though, for all the sort of joking about it, it just proves how successful and how popular this was. Mr. Blobby was massive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this was a must watch show.
I mean, I can't think of anything that would be comparable now.
Saturday Night Takeaway, I think, is pretty. Big.
Yeah, but what I mean is there's nothing on Saturday Night Takeaway that you would say, oh, we'll open a theme park based around Saturday Night Takeaway, or a theme park based around the X Factor or Strictly Come Dancing or something. No one's ever taken this next step.
You could argue it was folly.
Okay, so what was the Crinkly Bottom theme park, Philip Lucas? Tell me all about it now.
Well, Edmonds did actually open 3 Crinkly Bottom theme parks.
So not just one. Disney started with 1 and opened 2 more or whatever. But Edmonds, fuck it, 3, straight off the bat.
Straight off the bat. Speculate to accumulate.
Yeah.
He opened 1 in Morecambe, which closed 13 weeks after opening.
Oh, God, that's quick.
Yep, he opened 1 in Lowestoft that lasted 2 years. But the main one, which is the one I think most people remember, if you do remember this at all, was at a place called Crooked St. Thomas, which is in Somerset. And that is your... That is Crinkly Bottom.
Yeah.
That's the one. Okay. Now, Crooked St. Thomas is a vast estate with a huge mansion house.
Cool.
In fact, the mansion house in Crooked St. Thomas is the one you see in the beginning titles and end titles of To the Manor Born.
Oh, is it really?
With Peter Bowles and Penelope Keith.
Okay.
Yeah.
What a lovely fact that is, that that's Crinkly Bottom.
Yeah.
I've never known that before. That's great.
However, by the time Edmonds was eyeing up Crooked St. Thomas as a potential for one of his investments, Crooked St. Thomas was already a popular wildlife park.
Oh, okay. So he wasn't like opening it from scratch.
No,
it was like,
you know, something there already.
Sticking it within an already established...
Now, Edmonds actually lived close to Crooked St. Thomas.
I bet he did.
Yeah. He'd just fly in. And he was keen to turn his fictional village of Crinkly Bottom into a reality. So a deal was struck with the owner of Crooked St. Thomas, John Taylor, not... Her name is Rio.
Oh, I thought I recognised
her. Yeah, another guy called John Taylor. Deal was struck to turn that park into Mr. Blobby's hometown.
It doesn't seem as bad, does it? Because what he's essentially saying is, all right, mate, you've got a wildlife park. Mm. I reckon he's almost sort of saying, I want to open like an attraction. I just want to open like a Blobby-themed attraction on your land.
Mm.
It doesn't seem the same as like having like a wasteland and saying, this will be Crinkly Bottom and like start, you know, there was already tourists, there was already people going to that place, right?
True, but they did spend millions transforming it. Millions from the owner, John Taylor, invested millions himself. Not Bald, her name is Rio.
Oh, really? Lost quite a lot of money, I should imagine.
Yeah, okay. And Edmonds invested quite a lot as well. Now, the wildlife park was going to remain intact, but they would add numerous attractions into Crinkly Bottom. In fact, Edmonds himself was actually keen to replicate the Great Manor House as seen in the TV show House Party, but they decided wisely to introduce attractions steadily over the years and conclude with the Great Replica House coming later down the line. Now, if you look at all of the leaflets and stuff for the advertising for Crinkly Bottom, they all say Great House coming soon. Never did.
Do you think that I would normally, because with El Dorado we said this, that maybe they should have started slow and built it up.
Mm.
But for me, I think actually this is the wrong thing to do. I think they should have, like, struck while the iron is hot. you know, and like splurged it all out there.
Giving it a bit of wow.
Giving it a bit of wow factor. Because the thing is, if you go, oh, we're going to Crinkley Bottom, the thing I would expect to see is the house. That's what people liked was the mad... The house had a name, didn't it?
Did it? Wasn't it just called Crinkley Bottom?
No, the village was Crinkley Bottom, wasn't it?
Was it just called the Great House?
I don't know, but I don't know what the house was called. But like, I would expect if I was visiting Crinkley Bottom, I would expect that house.
Yeah.
And so, I guess maybe that's kind of diminished the wow factor there a little bit, Edmunds.
Yes, but the BBC in their studio didn't have to deal with the Somerset County Council planning department.
Oh, good point.
So there's some issues there. We are talking about a Grade One listed, you know.
Yes, that's true.
A very, very historically important part of land. Anyway, we'll come on to that. Edmunds was incredibly confident about this theme park.
Yeah, I bet he was.
Do you know, want to know what he said?
No.
Crinkley Bottom at Cricket St Thomas will outlive Noel's house party. It will probably outlive Noel Edmunds too. Nice third person there.
That's the first stage of going mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
At least that's what Phil Jared thinks.
Crinkley Bottom at Cricket St Thomas was officially opened by Noel Edmunds on the weekend of the 2nd and 3rd of July 1994. Mr Blobby and his scary wife were present and a large garden party was held in homage to Noel's house party, the TV show.
Hey, so Crinkley Bottom at Cricket St Thomas was officially opened by Noel Edmunds on the weekend of the 2nd or 3rd July 1994. Mm. Golden age.
Just getting into Blur, Boys and Girls, Part Life album.
Absolutely. By this time, Kurt Cobain had been dead, what, 2 years? A year? So music had already suffered. Mr Blobby and his wife were present. I mean, playing Mr Blobby must have been a bit of a soul-scarring operation for an actor. I wonder what playing Mrs Blobby. Who are you? Oh, I'm his wife.
The one they brought in as an afterthought.
Yeah, that's right. And it doesn't even matter. Like, the gender of the thing doesn't even fucking matter, does it? But you're playing Mrs. Blobby. Anyway, it was a large garden party and it held in homage to Noel's house party. However, within weeks of opening, the cracks began to show in Crinkley Bottom's foundations. A joke sign had been added to the official Cricket St Thomas Road sign declaring twinned with Crinkley Bottom, which the Somerset Council frowned upon and ordered to be removed. I bet they hated that.
Oh, yeah.
I bet the local people hated that and they hate it. Well, you would, wouldn't you?
It's very, very posh millionaire Tory around there, isn't it?
Is it?
Which is why Edmunds lived there.
I mean, nobody would want that, would they? No. I mean, it is proper down market.
Mm.
Isn't it? Additionally, the quarry that housed Mr. Blobby's house.
Quarry, that says it all.
Where else would he have been from, Mr. Blobby? Was the idea, is he from Mars or something? Did he ever have a backstory?
I don't know. He probably did.
Okay, the quarry that housed Mr. Blobby's house and part of Crinkley Bottom High Street had allegedly been built without full planning permission. Eventually, the concerns were dropped when it was decided that Mr. Blobby's house was adequately hidden from intruding on the landscape.
That's what you want from a theme park, hidden. As main attraction, what's the most important thing? Hide it.
Yeah, hide it. Get it underground. But Crinkley Bottom's problems were far from over, Phil. The park had more bad publicity following some questionable treatment of the elephants in the wildlife park, for which Edmunds was blamed yet again. Everyone just blamed... If I was
out there whipping him personally.
I would get a persecution complex, because he didn't kill that man, did he, on the Late Late Breakfast show.
And I don't think elephants had anything to do with him.
I'm sure Noel Edmunds wasn't abusing elephants. Do you know what I mean? So no wonder he's got a persecution complex. Oh, well, my fault as well, is it? My fault as well, is it? Neighbours complained about the amount of noise that was being generated by attractions, and English Heritage were concerned that the image of the Grade 1 listed estate was being spoilt by Mr. Blobby. I can't think of anything that would be made better by the addition of Mr. Blobby. Is the Acropolis with the addition of Mr. Blobby. It's never going to... If Mr. Blobby started advertising Lidl, it would downgrade the image of Lidl. Mr. Blobby is your baseline and you work up, don't you?
I've kind of got sympathy here with the council and the local neighbours.
Yeah, I really have.
Yeah.
I think that if I heard a serial killer was coming round, I'd go, oh God, Harold Shipman's coming round. And if somebody said he's bringing Mr. Blobby, I'd be like, what? Shipman and Blobby? What? Like, there's nothing he makes better, is it, Mr.
Plonker? Nothing at all. You see, you can kind of see that the neighbours, like, when they used the filming for To the Man of Ball, I mean, I bet the neighbours would have moaned about the camera crews there.
Yeah.
But I bet the product, they'd be like, oh, yeah, they this is a comedy that we enjoy.
Yeah.
That you turn that beautiful Grade 1 listed estate into a Mr. Blobby theme park, they would be livid. Yeah. I'd love to have seen some of the letters that went to the local paper and the councils. I should have dug them out.
It's literally as bad as it can be, isn't it? Mm. Like, the only thing they would have liked less than that is maybe stock car racing. I can't think of anything they would have liked less than that. The locals might have hated it, Phil, but Park's footfall told a different story.
Oh.
500,000 people visited Crinkley Bottom in its first season.
What a state of the world.
You'd be pretty pleased with that, wouldn't you? You'd be like,
yeah,
this is the start of something big.
Mm.
Like, we absolutely.
You'd get delusions of grandeur.
You'd absolutely get delusions of grandeur, wouldn't you?
Mm.
By the summer of 1995, Crinkley Bottom was so popular that one couple held their wedding in the park.
Gee!
They even had Mr. Blobby at their reception.
Oh, what must they think now?
The thing that's really
it's
awful
probably quite,
about...
It's cool now.
Well, I don't know. The thing about that is that people say, where do you have your wedding? And they go, we had a Crinkley Bottom-themed wedding that Mr. Blobby came to. And then they have to, the next 50 minutes trying to explain what those things mean.
Yeah.
Because like, then you would imagine they'd been famous for quite a while. But now people are like, what were those things? And you have to go, well, Mr. Blobby was like a man in a pink suit, yellow spots on it.
Do you think there are people out there with Mr. Blobby tattoos?
Oh, I bet.
There will be, won't
there?
There
are. I mean, God bless them having their wedding in the park. Edmunds.
What's best, Lost Profit tattoo or Mr. Blobby?
I mean, it's a toss-up. It is a toss-up, actually, in all seriousness, because the Lost Profits, you could go about with a Lost Profits tattoo and most people wouldn't know what it was.
Mm.
But Mr. Blobby on your arm, everyone's going, you're a twat, mate.
And at least with the Lost Profits, most of them were all right people.
Yeah, that's right. It was only, 20% of the Lost Profits that was a real problem. Whereas I think it's a good 100% of Crinkley Bottom that is a problem.
We're not saying that, you know, we're not saying that paedophilia is less bad than Mr. Blobby.
I think what you mean is you're not equating paedophilia with Mr. Blobby is what you're saying.
Well, what I'm trying to say is
paedophilia is worse than Crinkley Bottom.
Yeah, for example, if Edmunds was listening to this
yeah.
and then he tuned in yeah. and he's going, well, hang on, I just created a popular TV character
yeah.
and you're saying he's worse than a brutal paedophile.
Yeah.
But that's not fair on Edmunds.
Absolutely. And I think people have been unfair to Edmunds,
mm.
specifically because many people think he killed a man, which he didn't. Okay. Edmunds pushed to build the great house on the, which you'd think is going well. It's time to build the great house.
They always said coming soon.
Coming soon, the great house. But it was officially vetoed by the Somerset County Council. And I would have thought that probably was the kick in the balls.
Mm.
Because that's the thing, right? That's like, that's Disney's fairy tale.
Yeah,
castle,
that's your
right?
central area.
That's the central area. You'd have a lovely restaurant in there.
Mm.
A ball pit, you know, water park.
Yeah, all the standard stuff common people like.
Exactly. And do you know what? Crinkley Bottom, if it had worked, if they built the big house, then, you know, there's nothing to say that once the TV show had died, it couldn't just become an Alton Towers. You know, we go to Crinkley Bottom, it's a theme park.
Yeah, it almost becomes dissociated with the show and a thing in itself.
Why not? You know what I mean? I totally can see saying to people now, oh, you know, you went to Crinkley Bottom, had a nice time. Do you know that used to be part of a TV show? You know, nothing weird about that in the slightest. Somerset County Council. Kicking it in the balls before it had a chance to grow. So, what were some of the attractions at Crinkley Bottom, Philip Lucas?
Blobby Land.
I once got married there.
That's a kids' play area, standard stuff.
Ball pools,
slides, tunnels, coin-operated rides, all the usual crap that the C's and D's demographics like. close to Blobby Land was the Crinkley Bottom Haute Cuisine Emporium.
That was not really what it was called.
I believe it was.
That's so Partridge. It's an incredible... The Crinkley Bottom Haute Cuisine Emporium.
I'm guessing it's tongue-in-cheek.
Blobby Restaurant.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was attached to the Lister Newt Pub, from which a balcony was there that Mr. Blobby was sometimes known to emerge from.
Oh, like the Pope.
Yeah. Which is kind of apt, really.
Yeah.
Because you are basing a whole theme park largely around Mr. Blobby.
Yeah.
Because you have Blobby shows as well.
Yeah.
Originally held in a large marquee with grand showbiz-style stage, surrounded by huge backdrops featuring famous BBC celebrities. The live Blobby shows later became a slightly more low-key affair, held in the Pavilion Theatre, which was previously a restaurant.
I mean, imagine how bleak the Blobby show was.
Must have been awful. Well, the funny thing about it is that the live appearances were actually really short, deliberately to ensure that the actors in the costumes didn't overheat.
And there was a big suit, the Blobby suit. I imagine you could get ill in that thing.
Mr. Blobby's house.
Yeah.
That was a popular thing. Dun Blobbin.
That's very good.
That was actually a little spot that had previously been used to house monkeys as part of the safari park, and that was lovingly built out of chicken wire and polystyrene.
I bet that's still there somewhere.
We'll come on to that. Okay. The house itself was a higgledy-piggledy bungalow with its own lake garden and decking, and the door of Dun Blobbin was the most photographed feature of Crinkly Bottom, as visitors would always want their photo taken outside the front door to Mr. Blobby. This bit made me laugh because on front of Dun Blobbin was a doorbell which could be pressed and you would hear the shrill cry of Blobby, Blobby, Blobby. And neighbours to the theme park cursed this as the irritating doorbell could be heard from beyond the park.
Oh, God,
can
that's
you
awful.
Imagine how awful that is?
Because it had Blobby's voice, Mr. Blobby's voice had a... It had been pitch shifted.
Sort of pitch shifted, synthesised, didn't it?
Yeah, in
sort
a really electronic crap way. Yeah. So it was a sort of, almost like a Dalek shriek.
Yeah, sort of vocodery, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really, really horrible.
Another feature was TV's family favourites.
Oh, okay.
So alongside personal appearances from Noel Edmonds and Mr. Blobby, Crinkly Bottom needed a permanent fixture that would entertain visitors on rainy days.
Yeah.
So they built an indoor water ride.
That sounds good.
Yeah, and it was called TV's Favourites. So the ride... Yeah. It was essentially a looped river ride, and you were kind of sitting in these TV dreamboats and just going through various tableaus and rooms that featured TV characters and stuff.
Sort of like...
A bit like It's a Small World, I suppose.
Yeah, the small world thing. Yeah, okay.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
That was located adjacent to the Crinkly Bottom post office, which naturally stocked TV-related merchandise and loads of plastic crap that you could buy featuring all the shit that you'd have seen travelling around on the boat. Standard fare.
It doesn't sound... too bad.
No, some of that water ride is now in a crap theme park somewhere in Somerset.
Is it really?
Yeah, somewhere. It still exists. Apparently, I can't remember where it is, but apparently some of those characters made, I think there was Noddy and Trumpeter. Yeah. I think the ironwork metal used in that water ride is still in existence in another theme park, and some of the faded old characters are dotted around this water ride. I want to go and see that.
People they you go on a thing that goes up and down, water, whatever.
Mm.
You have a bit of dinner, right? You watch a show. It kind of doesn't matter what theme you stamp on that shit. You know, is it Star Wars? Is it Crinkly Bottom? Is it like...
It's all the same, isn't
it's
it?
It's the same
haunted house, ghost
it's a haunted
train,
house,
lovers,
on a train,
whatever you call
on
them.
On a boat, you're having overpriced chips and ice cream. That's what it is.
And somewhere along the line, you got a smile because you'll have to be buying a photo of you
at
the
end. Yeah, exactly. Have you been on the
i360? Yes.
I like the fact that their photograph in front of the i360 is also obviously their terrorism prevention. Can you stand up there and take a photograph? I don't want a photograph. You have to have your photograph taken if you want to go on the... Okay. I'll have my photograph taken. Next, we're going to have a fun game. It's called What Does Your Fingerprint Look Like? Ooh, put your DNA into this microscope. You can see it swimming around. Now get up the tower.
For those people who don't know, the i360 is a large observation tower in Brighton. Yeah. Controversial to some, but yeah. I like it.
So, Crinkly Bottom film.
Mm. Well, lovely attractions, if you like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
With all those attractions, what could possibly go wrong? What went wrong, Phil?
Well, this, more than any other disaster we've done, it's not really a single thing, is it? It's not really a disaster in so much as like a business idea that just kind of fizzled out, I suppose, right?
Yeah.
Because, they did all the right things. It's not like somebody died or like that. Nothing bad happened, right? There's not one single moment that set this theme park on the road to failure, but... And they have to remember that the general public move on, don't they?
Fickle.
A big TV show usually has about a decade of life in it.
Yeah.
X Factor's fizzling out. Big Brother's gone, really. Strictly Come Dancing, they usually get about 10 years. So by the mid-90s, Noel's House Party wasn't getting the viewers it used to have.
Mm.
And that meant that the park itself wasn't getting the visitor numbers it used to have.
Yes.
They're starting to lose a little bit of money.
Quite a lot of money, I think.
The 1996 season at Crinkly Bottom was not a happy one. Black season at Crinkly Bottom.
Imagine that. All that sort of polystyrene pink crap around you and you're pissed off.
I mean, that stuff, like being dressed in like a stupid hat, and that's bad if things are going well, isn't it? But if there's no one there and you're in a pink blobby, oh God, kill me. If you've got yourself a restaurant called Crinkly Bottom Haute Cuisine Emporium, that's funny if it's packed with people. If there's six people in your Haute Cuisine Emporium, then that's just depressing.
Yeah, one of them soggy sausage rolls that's been cooked in a microwave.
I mean, really, you want that to be called the Crinkly Bottom Calf, don't you? Oh, yeah. Why didn't we call it the Crinkly Bottom Calf? Because there's no one in it and I want to kill myself.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a black season, 1996 Crinkly Bottom season. With the 30th anniversary of the Wildlife Park just a year away, Taylors and Edmonds agreed to part ways that September. I wonder if that was a amicable.
It doesn't feel like. Should we part ways? Yeah.
It doesn't seem like an easygoing kind of chap, does he? But maybe he is. Due to licensing constraints, Mr. Blobby and the other TV themed attractions remained in the park. Although the attractions was rebranded as Cricket St. Thomas Wildlife Park once again. Entry prices were reduced and more emphasis was placed on the local community and the park's heritage.
In other words, John Taylor.
Yeah.
Not from Rio, Duran Duran, had had enough of Mr. Blobby, wanted out.
Yeah,
by the sound of it. I want to put it back to a wildlife park.
Extricating it. Let's have a bit. Can we have it classy again?
Mm. By law, I have to keep the Blobby attractions, but I'm going to rebrand it.
Yeah, very slowly go back to it being a bit of a nice place for Somerset people to feel proud of, During 1997, it was decided that all mention of Mr. Blobby should be removed. And I tell you what, not just at this park either. Britain collectively decided around 1997 to remove all mention of Mr. Blobby. It was done to distance the park from its Crinkly Bottom era. Mr. Blobby's house was closed and signs displaying Blobby-related titles were blacked out with gaffer tape.
God, it's even half-hearted.
Much like the sort of end of the Nazi period. There's a period of de-blobbification had to be done and people had to be re-educated.
Yeah, like that footage where they blow up the swastika on top of the Reichstag.
That's right. That to topple a lot of blobby statues. Blobby, blobby, blobby. Noddy and Big Ears became more prominent mascots of the park.
I can imagine, what the fuck? What have we got? Noddy! just use him! Anything! Anything but Blobby!
Faster Noddy over Blobby. Noddy events were held across the grounds. This continued into the 1998 season, but the financial problems surrounding Crinkly Bottom haunted the Taylor family. In a desperate bid to escape the shadow of Blobby, that would have been a big old fat shadow as well.
Shape.
The Cricket St. Thomas estate was put on the market in late 1998 for £8 million.
So essentially Crinkly Bottom broke the owner by the sound of it.
Yeah, it looks like it, doesn't it? £8 million doesn't sound like much, right? For estate.
But I guess if you're skint.
Yeah, and scarred by Blobby.
Yeah.
By September, it had been acquired by Warner Holidays.
Ah, I've heard of them. Don't they do holidays and coach tours for old people?
I think they do, yeah. Mm. They have adverts where it's like, tell you what's good about this, they're fucking children! That's a Warner advert, isn't it?
Yeah, go on.
Tell you what I was thinking the other day. What's that? Fucking eight children. Oh, wicked. I'm glad there's none here then. After a revamp and removal of all things Noddy, so they eliminated Noddy. The eviscerated Noddy as well. No one's safe at Cricket St. Thomas. You get 3 years and you're fucking eviscerated, mate. Black gaffer taped you out, mate. And so after that, it basically became a hotel and wildlife park.
Okay.
But that also failed.
No! And the place is doomed.
It is doomed. It is cursed. Well, they did curse it, didn't they? The locals cursed it, didn't they? So I think it worked.
Yeah.
That also failed, and it closed again in 2009. The grounds were revamped once more to create Cricket St. Thomas Lakes and Gardens.
Meow. That sounds nice.
Boring wedding reception venue, I should imagine. Mm. But this concept was short-lived and scrapped in 2011.
So that failed as well.
Is it on the site of an Indian burial ground?
It sounds like it was doing quite well until Crinkly Bottom came along.
Yeah.
And then after that, nothing has worked.
Crinkly Bottom was the equivalent of salting the land. Nothing will grow in Cricket St. Thomas after Noel Edmonds salted the land. Today, the estate is accessible only to locals.
It's accessible only to locals, I'm afraid, Cricket St. Thomas.
Today, the estate is accessible only to locals and a hotel guest.
A hotel guest. One single hotel guest.
One at a time.
Yeah.
And they look round.
Have you paid the upgrade to be accessible to where you're staying?
I don't want to. Pay the upgrade! Some empty animal enclosures and buildings still stand from the days of the wildlife park.
But good. Kept it bleak.
But the whole of Crinkly Bottom is nothing but a memory.
God, nothing of it left.
Crinkly Bottom. look down there, sir. Down there used to be Crinkly Bottom. I bet it is a bleak place to look around now, right? So what happened to the individual attractions, young Phil Lucas?
I can tell you. After Crinkly Bottom, for some reason, Mr. Blobby's house, you remember the famous Dun Blobbin?
Yep.
That was left intact for many years. Although,
well, I suppose it's only a nuclear blast that's going to get rid of that, isn't it?
It's in a quarry.
Fiberglass and chicken wire.
With the site overgrown and decayed, it caught the attention of the British press, who described it as being trashed by ravers during an illegal rave.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that. There were pictures in the paper of, like, graffiti written inside Mr. Blobby's house. Yeah. All an urban myth. Wasn't ravers, just scum.
Oh,
just
okay.
Scum breaking in and doing stuff. By 2014, pretty much any item that was in Dun Blobbin had either been stolen, broken, or damaged.
They looted Mr. Blobbin's
house. Looted.
What could there possibly have been in Mr. Blobby's house?
Oh, it must have been loads of multicoloured plastic shit.
What kind of fence is going to take them? I've got a VCR for you. Oh, wicked. What make is it? It's Blobby.
Frustrated by the number of unwelcome visitors, Cricket St Thomas's staff attempted to block the tunnel leading to Dun Blobbin, first with machinery and then with a wooden fence, but people still got in to explore Mr Blobby's old house. Eventually, in mid-2014, the house was raised to the ground and the tunnel was totally blocked with breeze blocks, preventing any further intruders. It's like some Ministry of Defence place.
Imagine this, right? Like, you get a job, you're an out-of-work actor, you get a job in a theme park where you wear a big suit and you mess around with kids, and then within 3 years, you're fighting off looters and blocking a tunnel with machinery.
Just
leafing through your contract. I don't remember. How am I now a mercenary? I don't understand.
Oh, I love that. The detail, just the level of work just to stop people getting into Dun Blobbin.
I would do it, though, wouldn't you? I'd love to see Blobby. I'd love to go and see this theme park.
Oh, God, I'd love to see it, but there is nothing of it left.
Oh, isn't it?
Nothing of it left. But, apparently, a Mr. Blobby suit still does remain at Cricket St Thomas, although it's in a state of disrepair and missing most of its facial features.
I bet that looks terrifying.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
A rotted Mr. Blobby.
I'd love to see that. Blobby Land was renamed Fun Village until 1998. Then it was demolished and turned into a large courthouse to house meerkats and birds.
Fun Village is what the Soviets would have called a torture chamber. Isn't it?
Yeah. They haven't spent much time in a meeting coming up with that one, have they?
No, that is 5 pints and a thesaurus, isn't it? Fun Village.
Fun Village.
Not even a thesaurus, is it? It's literally the first thing.
Common words. Common words in usage.
Yeah.
TV's family favourites. Remember the water
oh,
ride?
Yeah.
Yeah. When Warner Hotels bought Cricket St Thomas in late 1998, the ride was closed to the public. Of course it was.
Mm.
Following this, staff stole the Dalek that was there.
I'd have the Dalek.
Yeah, Dylan the Rabbit and Zebedee from the Magic Roundabout.
All the cool shit would go, yeah.
Yeah, the remains of which all remain unknown. With the ride left untouched, the water there that remained in the river rotted most of the wood and the fabric elements of the attraction that was eventually all knocked down.
Wicked. So it rotted.
It essentially rotted.
Wicked. So that was the rise and fall of Crinkly Bottom. Did you enjoy it, Phil?
I did. Was it a success, though?
No. Well, in some ways, it might appear to have been a failure, but it just seems like a business that kind of just didn't work, right? I mean, a rapid decline in attendance figures and numerous complaints regarding the park's image and ethos might have suggested it was a terrible idea to begin with.
Yeah, but it was a hit.
Yeah, for 2 years.
And I think that's the fundamental thing. It's a big gamble, assuming that something that is transitory is going to
live forever.
Yeah. Hence why people who get tattoos of bands and their favourite cartoon show, you are twats.
Yeah, I mean, everything feels so very solid, doesn't it? But it isn't. It disappears. Even things that we think are utterly gigantically famous will be completely forgotten.
Don't open a theme park. Don't get a twatty tattoo.
No, unless you're really sure that, you know, you're going to be able to, you know, attract people for a while. And I do feel sorry for Noel Edmonds, because I think people should think big.
Yeah.
So, the demise of the Crinky Bottom theme park, Philip Lucas, our fault or God's fault?
Edmonds' fault.
Edmonds' fault. Oh, well.
No.
I think not really anyone's fault. It's just the fault of the fact that that Crinkly Bottom was never going to live forever. It was had its place in time. No one was going to watch Noel's House Party forever.
Well, they decommissioned it, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly. Do you decommission a television programme? You just cancel it. You decommission a warship. You don't decommission a television. So that was Crinkly Bottom. Do you enjoy it, Phil?
Yes. My favourite bit about it was the boarding up of Dunblobbin to stop looting.
Okay, so that was Crinkly Bottom, Phil. Crinkly Bottom, Bottom, Bottom. Bottom, bottom, or whatever the theme tune was. Blobby, 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 blobby. Lots of people out of work. What are we doing next week?
Bringing the mood down again, I'm afraid. Oh. We're going to be talking about the Tenerife air disaster of 1977. To my knowledge, still the world's worst air disaster.
The world's worst air disaster?
Yeah, and it happened on the ground.
Wow, did it really?
Sort of.
I suppose all air disasters happen on the ground. I mean, it's the ground where things get difficult, isn't it?
I get what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. I get what you're saying.
All right, well, let's not talk too much about that, because we'll save it for next week. Until then, I thought, if you've got any ideas for disasters we could cover, then go for it.
Mm. Or if you worked at Cricket St Thomas Crinkly Bottom Theme Park,
or
went there, let us know.
Yeah, let us know, and we'll talk about it on the podcast next time.
Tell us, but we won't.
No, we might do. If someone contacted us and said, like, oh, we want...
Actually, you probably would, wouldn't we?
Crinkly Bottom, I'd like to know. Mm. I don't know how we will segue from that into the Tenerife air crash, but we'll give it a go. How do they contact us?
You can contact us on Twitter. It's a nice way of doing it. We're at CB Wallop. You can contact us on Facebook as well. Also, if you do like this podcast, if you did fancy leaving us a review on iTunes, it would be really, really helpful. We don't know why, but apparently reviews are useful. But it's really kind. Really kind if you do. Yeah. We really appreciate it. But yeah, if you want to get in contact with us, we'd love to hear from you. Hope you enjoyed this episode. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks with the Tenerife air disaster.
Frickin' excellent. All right, thank you very much. I'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.